Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 45. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 45 from Corporations, an act relating to the administration of government and privacy, specifying staffing for the Digital Information Privacy Task Force, designating a committee to receive task force report, reappropriating money, and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 45, Digital Information Privacy Task Force Reappropriation, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Danz Wannitzer, signed by Danz Wannitzer, Chairman. Also, further reviewed by your committee number 2, Appropriations, who respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhart, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Nicholas, and Stubson, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Zwanitzer? Dan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move when the committee of the whole rise to report to do so with a recommendation that Senate File 45 do pass. There is a standing committee amendment from committee number 2, and after that's presented, I'll turn it over to floor management to the good minority floor leader.
Okay, we're on standing committee amendment number 1, Vice Chairman Moniz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move standing committee amendment number 1 to Senate File 45. Basically, what we do is ask for another report, and that's the amendment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, any discussion on the amendment? Representative Throne? No. Okay, any discussion on the amendment? Question being called on standing committee amendment number 1. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? That's been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Friends, I bring you Senate File 45. This is a continuation of work that we began last year. This body's already passed, I believe, 3 bills that came out of this task force. It was originally set up for 3 years. We have 2 more years to go. There's a great deal of work left to be done in this pretty complex area, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. As I stand on in support of this bill as a member of this task force, we do have a lot to do, and one of the primary jobs this next year will be to look at education and basically data security in the field of education. So I would urge your support of this bill.
Any other discussion? Madam Minority Floor Leader Throne.
Mr. Chairman, I will just call for the question if there's no further discussion.
Question being called. All those in favor, when the Committee of the Whole rises to report that Senate File 45, Chairman Zwanitzer's motion that Senate File 45 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Senate File 45 has passed Committee of the Whole. Okay, the next bill for our consideration. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 115. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 115 from Senator Rothfuss, an act relating to discrimination, prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity as specified, providing an exception and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 115, Engrossed Discrimination, respectfully reports saying back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Harvey, Larson, and Schwartz, 2 no votes, Representative Kasparik and Wilson, and 1 absent, Representative Edmonds, and is signed by Representative Harvey, Chairman.
You've heard reading the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 115 do pass. And, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to beg your indulgence. I would like the co-sponsor of the bill to present the bill so that there is a standing committee amendment. I do not wish to move it at this time. It will make more sense after the bill is explained. If, with your permission, could we have the explanation of the bill first?
That'd be fine. Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So the first question we get, the most important question, is Senate File 15 needed? In our recent history, we had a worker tied to the front of a truck, naked, and chicken was played with his life as that truck roared toward walls. We had feces that was repeatedly put in a worker's lunchbox. We've had workers fired and mistreated. We've had fear and intimidation, all because someone is gay. We spend millions of dollars in this state trying to attract businesses to come here. And all of the things that we do are important, all of the tax structure that we have, all of our business-friendly laws and rules and regulations. But what businesses really want to know, and what workers want to know before they come, what talented workers want to know, is what kind of people are you? Are you fair? Are you going to judge me based on my work performance? Are you going to stand up for my kid when he's bullied on the playground? What kind of people are we? And how do we answer to the people who will tie a worker to the front of a truck? Senate File 115 updates discrimination prohibitions throughout our current law. This is not new ground. This is current law. We're simply adding to 9 statutes to include sexual orientation and gender identity. Page 1, 2, and 3 are adding definitions. And we start on page 4, adding to qualifications of a juror, and this is the first statute change. No citizen shall be included from service as a juror on account of race, color, religion, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity. On page 5 is the second change, equal enjoyment of public accommodations regardless of race, religion, color, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity, or national origin. The third change is no person shall be denied the right to life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, or the necessities of life because of race, color, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity, creed, or national origin. The fourth change is administration of government, and we're saying that we are not, as a government, going to discriminate against people on hiring, and the only thing we will do is judge them based on their suitability and qualifications without regard to political affiliation, race, color, sex, sexual orientation or gender identity, creed, or age. The fifth change has to do with child care facilities that receive public funds. And we're going to say that they cannot discriminate based on sex, sexual orientation or gender identity, color, race, religion, national origin, disability, or age other than the age of the qualifying child. The sixth change is on the Veterans Commission, where we say that the Veterans Commission, when they make appointments to the commission, it will be without regard to political affiliation, sex, sexual orientation or gender identity, religion, or ethnic background. We're still on page 7, and we come up with the seventh change, which is charter schools, which receive public funding, and we're saying that they cannot discriminate. On page 8, we're talking about public school registration and public schools, and that they shall not discriminate in their enrollment. On page 9, we say that public schools can't discriminate in the amount of compensation for teachers based on sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, race, or religious belief. Also on page 9, we say that employers cannot pay someone less simply because they are gay. On page 10, we're saying it's a discriminatory and unfair employment practice to deny employment or fire someone based on sex, sexual orientation or gender identity, race, creed, color, national origin, ancestry, or pregnancy. Pages 11 through 12, there is a big religious exemption for that employment. Religious exemption based on a religious organization, an expressive association, and it's a very broad exemption. On page 12, we're talking about the Department of Health, and that no person shall be denied services from the Department of Health. On page 13, we're talking about, again, Department of Health, that public health, physicians, health officers, and other people shall treat people regardless of age, sex, sexual orientation, or gender identity, race, or color. And the last thing on page 13 is that the provision of medical assistance shall not be denied or delayed to a person based on sex, sexual orientation, gender identity, mental or physical handicap. One parting comment. It's already illegal in Wyoming to discriminate against people based on, to discriminate against qualified people based on disability, sex, age, race, creed, color, national origin, ancestry, or pregnancy. You still have to be a qualified worker. This does not in any way diminish our strong right to work laws in this state. The bill simply says that we are fair, that we are fair people, and that we judge people based on their performance and their actions. I ask for you for your support, and I turn it back over to Chairman Harvey for the Standing Committee Amendment.
Okay, Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move Standing Committee 1 to Senate File 115 and ask for your favorable approval. Since you've heard the explanation of what is already in the bill, I'd just like to explain what we did in committee. On page 1, line 3, we deleted an exception and put more than one, it's just a technical correction. On page 2, line 10, after teachings, insert the three expression of teaching religion or the expression or teaching of religious viewpoints. And what this does is it expands the definition of expressive association that adds was done elsewhere. It gives expressive associations, as defined in the bill, the right to discriminate should they choose to do so. And then on page 3, line 13, after subsidiary, we insert affiliate. And this kind of explains the expressive association a little bit, too. And it expands that to add another category to related religious organizations that would be exempt under the bill. So related, and I really don't know how to do this without giving an example, but there's an organization that young men belong to starting when they're about 8 years old and up until they can soar like the eagles. And then there's another one that deals with a youth organization, youth for Youth for Christ. I don't know how else to say it. But those would be examples of those affiliates. On page 4, line 11, it's just a technical correction with the numbering. On page 5, after line 12, we're inserting a new section that says, nothing in this section shall constitute a defense. Now, remember, this is the part that's the criminal statute, and it says, nothing in this section shall constitute a defense against any violation of a state criminal statute. And so what that means is that if you were doing inappropriate things that were illegal in a public facility, you could not use sexual orientation as a defense. So it wouldn't hold up in court. And then going on with respect to sexual orientation, gender identity, nothing in this subsection shall be construed to apply to the non-commercial properties, services, or activities of a religious organization, and that is defined. And so it exempts all religious organization and expressive organizations from complying with this section of the criminal code, which prohibits a public facility from discriminating against certain protected clauses. On to page 5, after line 19, notwithstanding any other provision of the law, no religious official, religiously affiliated organization or association, religious school, or expressive association shall be retaliated against, penalized, prosecuted, disciplined, investigated, discriminated against, or denied rights, benefits, advantages, or privileges to be subject to any legal or administrative claim, liability, or proceeding because of a religious belief, teaching, exercise, practice, or policy relating to sexual orientation or gender identity. And it does exactly what it says. It prohibits any religious organization or expressive association from being prosecuted for exercising their religious beliefs. On to page 11, line 5, after the word organization, and this takes us back to Title VI, the criminal code, and it is the definition of religious exemption. On page 11, line 10, after teachings, insert or the expressive or teaching of religious viewpoints, and that's just an identical change made to the definition expressive organization that was made in the standing committee earlier. And so with that, I would stand for questions, and if there are no questions, I'd call for the question on the standing committee.
Any questions, any discussion on standing committee amendment number one? Question being called. We're voting on standing committee amendment number one. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Standing committee amendment number one has been adopted. We are back on the bill. We have several committee of the whole amendments. We are on committee of the whole amendment number one. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I respectfully withdraw committee of the whole amendment number one.
Okay, committee of the whole amendment number one has been withdrawn. We are on committee of the whole amendment number two, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I respectfully withdraw committee of the whole amendment number two.
Okay, committee of the whole amendment number two has been withdrawn. We are on committee of the whole amendment number three, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I respectfully withdraw committee of the whole amendment number three.
Committee of the whole amendment number three has been withdrawn. We are now on committee of the whole amendment number four. Representative Larson.
Yes, sir. Thank you,
there
Mr.
You
Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Larson.
And I respectfully withdraw amendment number four, sending committee of the whole amendment number four to Senate file 115.
Okay, committee of the whole amendment number four has been withdrawn. We are now on committee of the whole amendment, and I believe this is the last amendment I have, committee of the whole amendment number five, and that is Chairman Madden. Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move committee of the whole amendment number five to first reading of or committee of the whole number five to Senate file 115. And rather than going through the minutia of everything that's in this bill, what I did and what it's based on is 1,436 emails that I've received. About 718 of them are trying to persuade me to vote for this, and 1,718 of them are 18 of them are trying to persuade me to vote against them. So what I did is I looked at a set of commonalities between those who are pro and those who are anti, and as I read all of the messages, the essence of those trying to persuade me to vote for it zeroed in on one thing, and that was equal employment opportunities and non-discrimination in the job place. Many of our letters and emails that you've gotten reflect that there's no other issue that they care about, that they didn't bring up any of the first part of the bill or the middle part of the bill. The thing that, and quite frankly, the thing that I feel strongly about is that the employment issues, the EEO type things that we have in the state should be adhered to for all people, including what we're talking about here today. The other thing that persuaded me of this is that of all the people that are trying to persuade us not to vote for this, there wasn't a single one of them, at least that I got, that were concerned about employment and employment opportunity and job security and wage discrimination. They didn't bring that up. It was all the other things, okay? So we have a way here to make, at least in Wyoming, 1,438 people, and probably more, happy from both sides. And what I've done is taken all the parts that the people that are not in favor of this bill and taken them all out, and I've kept in all the things that people are who are in favor of the bill, and that's going to be maintained. So rather than go through the minutia of all the deletes and all this, I'll just, if you open up your bill, okay, and you go to page 1, page 2, page 3, nothing happens there until we get down to the bottom of page 4. And I have deleted the qualifications of a juror, not because I think that jurors or selecting juries should be not be protected for these people, but it's simply because it doesn't make any difference. It's never been an issue. Nobody has been thrown off a jury because of one of these factors, okay? The next thing is 69101 on page 5, equal employment of public accommodations and facilities. That's one that you heard from the antis that don't want this passed. This is one that's very important to them. And moreover, this is one that's never been a problem. None of the issues about this subject dealt with instances of abuses in accommodations. You know, whether we're talking about bathroom accommodations or any kind of public service, bus service, or anything like that, it's never been an issue. Okay? So, why put it in here? Not because, of course, that we want them to be able to discriminate, but because it's not an issue and they're not discriminating. Now, 6-9102 on page 5, I think that's a good one. I think that's a catch-all that nobody can argue with. I don't know of one person in this body that would say that they don't like line 16 to 19. So that one is in there. And as a matter of fact, you can almost argue that that one probably takes care of all the rest of them put together if we look at it right. The next one is duties of the department performed through Human Resources Division. Okay? That one is still in there. I left that one in there, so don't put an X out there. I think this is very important that register of applications for jobs. You shouldn't sift through them and say, well, because of color or sex or sexual orientation or gender identity, we get to leave them out. Again, folks, understand it's never been a problem that has been identified as happening. The next one's quality child care system. I don't hear about that, and you've never heard about it either, I would guess. The next one is the Veterans Commission. You know, and it makes you wonder, you know, how did that, you know, it's in there, but it's not been a problem. Where's the next one? Charter school requirements. I think it goes without saying with our public school systems and how we finance public schools or charter schools, they can't, you can't discriminate anyway. These are wasted words. Registration for kindergarten, another one. It's not been an issue. You can't find any of your emails that dealt with that. Right, not denied on account of race. This one here clearly shouldn't be in there because that's a constitutional guarantee, folks, on the bottom of page 8. Okay, now we're getting into the parts that matter. And these are the parts that matter to all the people that are trying to persuade you to vote for this. And, by the way, the ones that are trying to persuade you not to vote for it, never bring these up. Discrimination and compensation prohibited. To me, that's a no-brainer. That's not a I don't expect we're going to get somebody arguing about that on the floor today. Prohibition on paying employees less for the same work. That's pretty obvious. And then 27.9.105, these are in there yet, and I should have pointed that out. I'm not striking anything on page 9, anything on page 10. These are still there intact. And then we get down to 35 on page 14 now. Powers and duties of department. I got to figure out what this is all about. Maybe I crossed it out because I didn't know what it meant. here you go. This is a health title and consent of minors to treatment. That's we're not debating that issue today. That's not of interest to anybody that's been following this. And then we have the last one: uniform application throughout state discrimination prohibited. Projects authorized. And
you forgot this one.
Ooh. Okay. I'm reminded I forgot one. Okay. That's the one on page 12. That was the one that dealt with public health and safety. And again, that's not been an issue, and we don't expect it will be an issue. Now, my logic here, folks, is to start out with, I think, what we can agree is the most critical things that we need to have in this bill if it's passed and it walks out of here, or it goes out of here. And what I've left in there, I think, is what we can, you know, I'm certain the majority of us are not going to quibble about, okay? Now, if, for example, there's people that want to say, well, Representative Madden, you got a little bit too overzealous with your pencil, and you want to add one in, to me that's the way to do it. But the way this was structured, here's how it was structured, I am betting anything, was that somebody in the office that puts these bills together did a word search with the word processor, and every time it came up to be age, sex, and race or something like that, it flagged it, and then they inserted sexual orientation and gender, whatever it was, identity. Okay. Another reason I feel strongly about that is we've just got these randomly all through the statutes, and it makes you wonder how they got in there. There's all kinds of interactions we have as a state government with the public where there is nothing. You can look, for example, for selection of election judges. You know, I can see, you know, maybe for some reason somebody thought we should have some kind of a statement that you can't discriminate on hiring election judges based on age and sex and all these things, but it just doesn't show up in our statutes. And the reason it doesn't show up, because it's not an issue. What is an issue, I submit, is unfair employment practices, discrimination in wages, and things like this. So what I'm asking all of you to really consider in this amendment is to approve this amendment. So we're starting off with what we can all agree on, all right? Kind of like one of our senators says, well, every time, I've been here 9 years, and every year he comes up and talks about we can agree on 80% of it, and let's go from there. Well, this is the 80%, I think. Well, actually, it's more like 95% of what you're hearing from constituents in this last few days, that what I've left in there is the kind of things that reasonable men and women do not argue about. Now, if there's people that feel strongly about something that now isn't wouldn't be in the bill as it appears, we got a second reading and a third reading. You bring those in and see if they fly. But the thing is, if we don't start with something we can agree on, we're going to walk out of here, I fear, with nothing. Okay? So that's my story. That's my speech, and I urge you to please vote for this amendment so we can progress in this endeavor. Thank you.
Hey, any discussion? We're on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 5. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Wow. I urge you to support that amendment, and I think that he's right. This is a starting place. I think we can all agree that everyone has a right to work and get paid equally for the work that they do, fairly for the work that they do. And I would urge you to support this amendment and support the bill.
Okay, any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 5, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 5 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Any further discussion? Go ahead. The question being called does not cut off debate. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge you to still have this a no vote. I wish that amendment was the original bill that came before us, but my fear is this, is even if we approve this thing, it's not going to be, I don't want to refer to the other body, so I'm not going to, but what I will say is this, it'll likely go to conference committee, and the bill that, the amendment now that you have before you is not going to be the same one that you vote on. And so it's unfortunate that that wasn't the thing that was first brought to us, because I think it would have had a great likelihood of survival. But being that the case, I would still urge you to vote no.
Further discussion. Representative Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On page 2, I just have a question. I just need to know, line 6, the word perceived. I really need an answer. I don't understand what that means, and I don't know where that is in statute anywhere else. All I'm looking for is an explanation.
Representative Allen, I think that was page 3, line 6, perceived, was the question. Is that correct? As we get broadcast out and people listen live, I want to make sure we're all in the right spot. So the question was on the word perceived on line 6 on page 3. Okay. Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can answer that question because I had the same question earlier and chatted with someone about it. Perceived is, and I'll give it to you in an example. If I am interviewing for a position, someone is coming to work for me, it is my perception of their sexual orientation or their gender identity that is prohibited by this language. It's so it is subjective. It is not objective. If I have a young man or a young woman in front of me, yet I perceive that they might be identifying as another gender, then that's what is prohibited. Now, the question, again, is prompted, how on earth would I know? But that is the answer to that question as it was explained to me. It is not the job applicant's perception of his or her identity. It is the employer, the potential employer's perception.
Any further discussion? Representative Pownell?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm on and against the bill. We heard conversation of the discrimination prohibited. Well, in our state constitution, Article 1, Section 2, it already is equality of all. It states that in their inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all members of the human race are equal. So there, my question is, why do we need a bill like this when it's already covered? And we've heard other examples of things that happen to people. There is a criminal law out there that deals with these sort of things. To use that as an example in this bill is not right, I don't believe. So, but in our Constitution and in the nation's Constitution, we're all equal, and we all have the right to live, a good life, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So I'd urge you to vote no on this bill. Thank you.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The incidents that have been brought up in supporting this bill and in our emails are heinous. There's no question about it. But I would ask myself, and I would ask you to ask yourselves, would this bill stop this behavior? This behavior is, as the previous speaker said, already criminalized. How do we legislate, quote, the way we treat people at work, end quote? What law can we possibly pass that will, quote, prevent workplace bullying, as this bill seeks to do? No law can possibly guarantee safety. We have laws against assault, burglary, embezzlement, and the like, but still these crimes occur. We have learned since Moses that laws do not prevent heinous behaviors. Why do we need this law in Wyoming? There are municipalities in this state, in neighboring states, that have already incorporated these rights into their employee hiring practices and human resource policies. As a matter of fact, I have a handout with an article from a paper in the other side of the divide that talks about some local municipalities doing this already. According to the website promoting this bill, quote, hundreds of companies in Wyoming alone have already set these policies into place without this law. The Wyoming Department of Workforce Services received approximately 40 complaints over the last 4 years alleging job discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity. 10 complaints a year borders on anecdotal, and we've learned not to pass laws based on anecdotes. Senate File 115 is being framed as a pro-business bill. Proponents of this bill say that businesses are reluctant to come to Wyoming due to lack of employment protections for sexual orientation and gender identity. However, We all know that Wyoming consistently ranks number one in the country for business friendliness. So which is it? Are we good for business, zero corporate and personal income taxes, a smart, able-bodied workforce? Or are we bad for business because we don't codify protections for sexual orientation and gender identity? Does this bill seek to regulate employment practices between and among private individuals? For example, between me and applicants for secretary, housekeeper, property manager, or anything else. I explained about perceived, and I was very happy to have that explanation. We've addressed Chairman Madden's amendment, the public accommodation. But here's something that hasn't been addressed that I've been asked about, and I don't have an answer, about gender identity as it relates to high school and college athletics. In a state which dotes on its sports teams, what is the coach of a girls' soccer team to do when a strapping young man who identifies as a young woman presents himself at tryouts? I've been asked this question. I have to go back with an answer. I have been asked, will this bill, if passed, add another special layer of legal protection for a perceived and protected condition beyond that afforded other citizens? I would urge us to remember that the proper role of government is to protect equal rights, not legislate special rights. I think this bill is just plain unnecessary. And I refer you to the other side of the handout. These are blurbs from the website promoting this bill. According to the president of an alliance of businesses in this state, quote, many employers in Wyoming already have non-discrimination policies that protect all employees from discrimination in energy, tourism, agriculture, technology, education, financial, and other professional services. The marketplace in Wyoming has led the way for fairness and protections against discrimination, end quote. From the executive director of a Association of State Mining Companies, quote, many of our companies have policies in place to ensure discrimination doesn't happen. And the legislation, in our opinion, essentially codifies existing human resource policies that are currently part of our existing personnel practices. Is the Wyoming legislature in the business of codifying the human resource practices of Wyoming businesses? From the vice president of a state liquid mineral association, most of all of our member companies have zero tolerance for discrimination in the workplace. From the website, end quote, from the website devoted to promoting this bill, there are already hundreds of industry leaders and businesses across the state who protect gay and transgender workers from discrimination in their workplaces, end quote. Let our state's small and large businesses decide for themselves whether or not adding sexual orientation and gender identity to their workforce policies will improve their employee pools or their bottom lines. Let individual cities and towns weigh the risks of losing employees or local industries if they do or do not adopt these employment policies. Wyomingites have always been a live and let live people without the force of law compelling them. We are freely and genuinely anti-discriminatory as a rule, not because it's the law. And there's proof of this. According to a survey posted on the website supporting this bill, quote, 96% of Wyomingites think job hiring decisions should be made on a person's experience, abilities and performance, not based on their sexual orientation or gender identity. 96%. This does not surprise me. This reflects my district and it reflects my own community. The survey also found that 78% of us Wyomingites, quote, do not think people should be fired simply based on someone's sexual orientation or gender identity, end quote. Nationally, a poll found that 73% of registered voters do not think sexual orientation or gender identity should be considered in employment practices. These data provide evidence that there is not the discrimination that warrants this bill. There are only anecdotes of ugliness, true ugliness, and I would bet that there are fewer of these anecdotes here in Wyoming, per capita, than anywhere else. This bill is unneeded. With so many companies already offering anti-discrimination protections, with municipalities on the way, and 96% of us already on board with anti-discrimination practices, I have to wonder, why bring this bill at all? Only 18 states and the District of Columbia have laws explicitly protecting LGBT workers, yet 91% of Fortune 500 companies already prohibit discrimination based on sexual orientation, and 61% already prohibit discrimination based on gender identity. Of the largest 50 federal contractors, which represent nearly half of all federal contracting dollars, 86% prohibit sexual orientation discrimination, and again, 61% prohibit discrimination based on gender identity. In addition, the top five federal contractors already bar discrimination based on both sexual orientation and gender identity. Employers are taking action on their own without a law to support workplace equality. It seems from what I've read and what we know, Wyoming is moving in the right direction without this bill. The free marketplace of employment is working here in Wyoming. Based on the evidence presented by the proponents of this bill, clearly Senate File 115 is unnecessary. Businesses and government entities already have anti-discrimination policies. Wyomingites overwhelmingly oppose discrimination in the workplace. A law to tell people what they are already doing is redundant, and I urge a no vote.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So doing some research and talking to some folks about what is a protected class and how do we define that, because I didn't know. So doing that research, under U.S. constitutional jurisprudence, the notion of protected class has come about in order to establish how to evaluate claims of discrimination. Originally, there were three characteristics. Immutable characteristics, number one, political powerlessness, and a history of discrimination. They have to fall under those three. I don't see, in my opinion, how this bill does not capture that. That is without a doubt. And I would ask you to look at those three things. Immutable characteristics, political powerlessness, and a history of discrimination. The ultimate example in this case would be race. Nobody's denying that there has been a history of that in the United States. And that's why we included that. On and for the bill as amended.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So where is SF 115 discrimination really coming from? Does it come directly from the man who lives in a house that is white? On July 21st of 2014, the man who lives in a house that is white further transformed our nation through executive order, amending two previous executive orders enacted in the 1960s to include sexual orientation and gender identity. The order took effect immediately for federal employees. Provisions of federal contractors, subcontractors, and grant recipients will be in place by early 2015. This will have far-reaching effects as private businesses with federal contracts employ nearly 20% of the U.S. workforce. Nonprofits receiving federal funding greatly increase that percentage. One must ask themselves, is there something to be gained by this bill? Despite passage of the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, ENDA, bill in 2013 by the Senate, which is controlled by a different party than the House has not acted, citing concerns that there are no provisions to protect religious freedom, there will be many unintended consequences for employers and employees, and there will be other substantial consequences for other citizens. This reluctance to cross a clear line interfering with others' rights has been the pattern throughout the 40 years since sexual orientation was first proposed as a protected class. Passage of SF-115 will assure that no individual business institution, organization, or faith community will escape a whirlwind of personal, religious, social, or financial economic upheavals that may result from these actions. At risk are the rights that we say we are trying to protect of free speech, freedom of association, freedom of religion, and freedom to protect ourselves, our individual rights. By fundamentally changing that we are all innocent until proven guilty, we are placing the burden of proof squarely on the accused. The subjectiveness of this bill opens up an endless supply of liabilities virtually impossible to defend against. Where will the passage of SF-115 lead us? Today, the state with a bear on its flag has 17 protected classes, including one called arbitrary discrimination. The opportunity for lawsuits is unending. This same state offers legal protection based on race, color, religion, national origin, sex, disability, familial status, sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, marital status, medical condition, ancestry, source of income, age, genetic information, and arbitrary discrimination. Two states have already rescinded these laws. Do we really need to repeat this? Do we really want to march to the drumbeat of the man who lives in the house that is white? Thank you.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in favor of the bill as amended. And one of the things that was brought by the good appropriations, or not appropriations, but revenue chair, is that if we vote down now what's been through the Senate and through our House, we will be sending a negative signal about what we really aren't. And that's another reason, I think, for supporting the bill as now in force and with the amendment that was brought by this body.
Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to address a couple of the things that had come up. And the first is that laws don't prevent heinous behavior. That doesn't prevent us from having laws for things that are against heinous behavior. We don't withdraw our laws against murder because people are still murdering. The second is that that the number of complaints is anecdotal. First of all, I don't think 40 complaints over the last 4 years is anecdotal. We know we only hear a fraction of the cases. And we certainly wouldn't be taking away any protections for people of color because we haven't heard of very many complaints over the last few years. Finally, to the comment that many companies are already doing this, they're the ones who are coming to us asking for this. It's the companies that are already doing this who are coming to us asking for this legislation because they're saying we're operating within these, you know, within these sort of good moral bounds, and we want to make sure to send the message that the state supports that. We're doing business with businesses across state lines. We're trying to attract businesses to come here. These businesses are trying to attract employees to come here, and even though they have their own internal policies, they want us to crack down on the bad apples. The few bad apples that there are, they want us to make a statement that we support their policies, and that's what we're doing with this bill. Thanks.
Representative Edwards.
On and against SF-115. In another life, I was employed by a company that I was in charge of hiring the people in that department, and I had a man that came in, and he came in a clothing that he was fully dressed, and I gave him a job. The next day he came back in, he had no sleeves on his shirt. He had naked women up and down his shirt, and this was a family business. He thought that he should be able to dress like that without having any problem, and I told him, you came in seeking a job with a full shirt on, you go back and put one on, and he said, it is too hot. This man had tattoos on him. He thought it was his right to dress the way he saw fit. As the one that hired him and as a business owner, or as the employee that hired him, to be able to keep my patrons coming in, I needed to make sure that the people that I had were ones that would be acceptable to the business that I was helping to run. As far as this saying that we need to have this bill, this will be the first time in all of the listings of the Employment Act of non-discrimination, it will be of a choice. This will be a person's choice on how they decided to be, whether it's gay or lesbian, or if it's transgender, or however you want to say it. It was their choice. May I ask you, do you not think that obese people may not be added to this list also? It is a choice, and they are just as well discriminated against as anybody else. And for that matter, as my son told me, he said, why don't you have ugly in there? I can represent that. How many people are denied jobs because of the way they look, or not able to keep a job because of the way they look? Because somebody that is better looking in the eyes of the beholder would replace them with somebody of their choosing. I hope that you will take a hard, long look at this and that you will vote against it. Thank you.
Representative Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason cited for this bill come down to some fear about Wyoming's image, and without consideration of fundamental rights of the other citizens. I've heard that there's concerns with perceptions about Wyoming and that our economic developments are compromised if this bill is defeated. I've heard that in today's social media world, there are perceptions that Wyoming might be backwards or prejudiced. Listen, SF-115 is being promoted as a way to improve Wyoming's image. Are we really being asked to pass such legislation for our image? 32 other states are not so worried about their image, pass laws like this. Why Wyoming? A record-breaking 10 million tourists came to Wyoming last year. They came to Wyoming for its natural beauty and the people who help them enjoy it, some of them here. We are the epitome of friendliness. That is our image in the real world. And as for our economic development, Wyoming is the friendliest state for business in the country, year in and year out. We're rated number one, best state to do business in. The largest software and operating systems developer in the world is doubling its investment in Wyoming. I don't think that's bad for a state that thinks it has an image problem. This bill is not needed. It aims to fix problems that don't exist. Our chairman of the revenue pointed out by his amendment. On the contrary, it will cause problems as the lawsuits begin. I ask you to defeat this bill.
Any further discussion? Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I set out with a speech that I had been working on for some time on this particular issue, and this morning I suffered a personal loss, and I just set all that aside, and I want to speak to you from my heart. In all sincerity, I can say that I sincerely love every one of you, not in some sort of trite and sentimental sense, although there's nothing wrong with sentimentality from time to time. But I believe that every one of you are created in the image of God, and you have a human dignity that is worthy of respect. And even beyond that, you are my friends. But being so doesn't mean that we always agree. And society is built where people of differing opinions are able to coexist. In our country, we've had a place where we can live by the dictates of our own conscience. And in the ensuring of equal rights, we've also always striven to ensure that there is a line that will not be crossed regarding that fundamental right of freedom, and that's the right of a free conscience. We that are Christian know what persecution is. Just this month, 21 of our brothers were slain in the sands of the Middle East, all in the name of religion, but with Christ on their lips. This is a land where huddled masses yearning to breathe free fled to know what it means for us to have liberty. And it's here they learned to hold their heads high as any landed aristocrat in the old world. And sure, there were issues. It wasn't until a charter that was issued in 1663 at the behest of individuals of my faith where the separation of church and state was enshrined and where people had the opportunity to dwell in liberty. But that wasn't that long ago. Human history has created a space and time where we've had the opportunity to live according to the rights of a free conscience. And to every person of faith, I say, never allow yourself to be beaten back down to the cringing crowd from whence you came. Never allow your senses to become so dulled that you cannot hear the clank of shackles before they are slammed closed. We've inherited this land from those who did everything in their power to light a path to freedom. And it is time to see freedom's torch lit anew in our own hearts in this legislature, so that if we desire that dream to persevere to our children, we can stand today and say that we stood for them. And to those who are for this bill, let me say, to ask you to diminish our right to free speech and religion diminishes your right as well. And if your rights to a free conscience and association are not considered inviolate, you've lost every shred of your freedom as well. Let this state remain a bastion of liberty. The fundamental problem with this bill is that it removes all discretion from individuals as to how they choose to exercise their freedom of conscience. And it enshrines forever in law something that is detrimental to the First Amendment. And by making such a statement, it doesn't mean that there is hatred or anger or anything else in the hearts of those who say that they still hold the torch of the First Amendment and wish to see that passed on to our children. It isn't out of hatred or anger. It's out of a love of what we've inherited as Americans. And it's for that reason that I'm on and against this bill.
Any further discussion? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do have a couple of issues with the bill as amended, and that is on page 11, line number 7, Romanet 2. We're talking about, it begins at the top, "The following shall be exempt under this article from employment practices relating to sexual orientation and gender identity." Romanet I, a religious organization, or Romanet 2. An expression association whose primary purpose and function are grounded in religious teachings, which are not organized for profit or for private profit, see, whose employment activities would otherwise be subject to this article, and whose right of expressive association under the First Amendment of the United States Constitution would be significantly burdened. And the problem I have with this is simply this. We all agree that churches and whatnot should be off limits, but what about a Bible bookstore? A Bible bookstore is a for-profit organization. Their function really is grounded in religious teachings because they're selling Bibles and religious products in order to get the get the word out. And where does it come to down there in line number 20? It says would be significantly burdened. Well, what does that mean, significantly burdened? And who is to judge what that significant burden really is? I have some folks back home. They have run a business downtown, and they have quite the product that they sell. In fact, I'm surprised sometimes they're still in business because it's kind of a narrow product that they sell. But what's interesting about that business is they use their business really as an evangelical outpost. They have tracts inside of their store. Many times if you walk into their store, they're praying with other individuals. And they're a for-profit business, and this would significantly hamper their business and the decisions that they make. And so, again, those are the issues that I have with this. What is an expressive organization? Those other problems. So, again, I would urge you to vote no. And, Mr. Chairman, pursuant to our rules, I would call for the ayes and noes.
Members, I'll rule that request out of order. On Committee of the Whole, we cannot have a request for the ayes and noes. Okay, so I'll rule that out of order, and we'll get you the rule citation. I just read that this morning, in fact. So, well, any other discussion? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think the question was asked when we start, what kind of people are we? And that's what we need to ask ourselves. You know, we're all on this earth together. We're all thrown in this thing together. I don't know why. Some people consider some of the characteristics that are discussed to be a matter of choice. I don't think they are a matter of choice. I'd argue with you to the death on that. And I have a little bit of personal experience to back that up. It's not a matter of choice. Some people are hardwired differently. I don't know why, but they're here. They're among us. They're our friends. We all know somebody, a friend, an acquaintance, a business associate,
And many, many people know the ache, the absolute heartache of a child or a sibling who's of a different sexual orientation than one might expect. And it is a heavy burden, and it is something that each of us has to reconcile within ourselves somehow. But the good Lord didn't put us on earth to sit here and denigrate each other. I really can't buy that. And I think that we're all here to live in a co-equal existence. Now, what we're talking about here is equality and grace and dignity and how we treat each other. And every one of those arguments that you hear, like the one that you just heard, there are two sides to that coin. And heaven knows religion, of all aspects of society, to be an impediment to this, for religion to be an impediment, just floors me. For 1,000 years, as was just related, religion and religious people have been persecuted. And finally, it seems in this country we attain some level of parity where religion can exist without a lot of persecution, virtually without persecution. And as soon as religion attains that level of parity, then it has to strike out in new ways and new directions, trying to inflict the same thing on others that was inflicted on it. And I just can't reconcile those two things. So I would simply say to you that the question that's being posed is, in the workplace, can the person do the job? Can they do the job? And if they can do the job, then what possible justification could there be for saying to them, you know, I'm going to let you go because you have certain characteristics that I don't approve of? And I can tell you from experience something else. Every one of you in here thinks, if we talk about homosexuals, we talk about transgender people, we talk about all that, every one of you thinks you can smell them out. You can ferret them out. That you know who they are, and I'm telling you, you don't. I'm telling you, they're in the closet, they're hidden, they're in the shadows. You're working beside them, and you don't. You think you know, and you don't. And have they really harmed you? And then there's all this business about, and it's weird how some of these arguments start at the bathroom door. What is that about? We have all shared facilities for many, many, many years, maybe 1,000 years. And you don't know everything about the people that you work with, or the people that you share the bathroom with. You may not even know about the people in your family as much as you think you do. And so all this is an equal opportunity. And it's based on a standard. And the standard is not about sexual orientation. And the standard's not about these other things. The standard is simply, can they do the job? And that's why it's so important to business, because business has to contend with that. Now, there are a couple of different kinds. I heard one statement about business, and it just crossed my mind. You know, there's a couple of different kinds of businesses, and they run the scale from one end to the other. But there are capital-intensive businesses, and there are labor-intensive businesses. And we, in Wyoming, I think, tend to have capital-intensive businesses. And so we can say, hoorah, you know, we have low taxes, we have all this favorable atmosphere, and we are a business-friendly state. Well, are we really? When what we want to do is diversify our economy, we want to become a diversified state. And to diversify, we're not talking about capital-intensive businesses. We're talking about labor-intensive businesses. When you get labor-intensive businesses, they need to attract employees, and they need to know that our state is with them on their policies, and they need to know that their policies, their anti-discrimination policies that they put in place, have some relationship with the law of the state, that they're not totally cross-threaded with the law of the state. So let's look at it for what it is. We think we know who these... It's not like there's a mob of them that are going to come and attack you. It's not like we're going to go on a witch hunt and dig them all out or ferret them all out. That's not going to happen. And I'm telling you, they're here and you don't even know who they are. you suspect things, you think things. Well, if you suspect it or you think it, should that be a basis? That's perception. Should your perception be a basis or a justification for terminating somebody from the workplace when they're otherwise doing the best job that can be done? They're doing as good a job as you can do. Or is it some irrational thing? And there's always two sides to that coin. And some may say, well, I don't want to work with them. Well, you know, the converse is true. They may not want to work with you either. It cuts two ways. And so let's be fair. Let's be equal. Let's just have what they call in Australia a fair go. Let's just give them a fair go. And let's say, you know, if you can do the job, if you can conduct yourself in such a way that you're not dysfunctional, that you're doing a good job in the workplace, and that you can perform, then we'll give you a fair go and you can be at that. Now, this example about somebody coming in and changing their colors, I heard that. One day they come in looking respectable. The next day they get the job, they come in and they change their colors and go some other way. There are remedies for that. This doesn't have anything to do with an employer's right to prescribe the dress or a lot of the ways that a person conducts themselves as an employee. And no one has to suffer an employee who's harmful to the business. That's not what it's about. And if an employer is not wise enough or smart enough to set the right parameters on the job about what's required, what you have to do and how you have to do it, then I guess they get their own just desserts. But that's what employment law permits you to do. But once you set all those requirements, how many ever there are, there may be a list as long as your arm. You write them all down. Everything that a person has to do, everything that you can't do, you get all done with your list, then put the person in there. Can you do it or not? And if they can do it, what is it that would say, over and above that, just because I don't like my perception of your sexual orientation, you're out of here? On and for the bill.
Hey, members, just clarification, and it's House Rule 6-6, paragraph B, that deals with Committee of the Whole. And the only time we take a roll call vote in Committee of the Whole is if a bill fails, a voice vote, then we have standing division vote. And then if it fails standing division, then we have a roll call which determines what happens in actions of the Committee of the Whole. Whether if it passes roll call, it moves on to second reading. If it fails, it's indefinitely postponed. So that's House Rule 6-6, paragraph B. Further discussion, Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I have appreciated what the good speaker said. I really appreciate if you can do the job, you get hired, and you do it. I don't think there's any disagreement with that. I think equal opportunity is what we want in this state. I will say that the idea that we are, you know, looked down on because we don't have the bill, 32 other states don't have the bill, and I do know that having served on committees where we're trying to get people to come in, we cannot get enough people. The jobs are, I mean, they're just more jobs than we can get, and it doesn't have anything to do with what we're talking about here. I would like to turn what was just said around a little bit. The actual and perceived, that's on page 3, the term sexual orientation and gender identity, even they're defined in the engrossed bill, are by their nature unclear, vague, indeterminate, and unpredictable in the scope and meaning because, among other things, they depend wholly upon a changeable self-perception of the persons who are making the claims of discrimination and not upon an objective fact. That's the thing that I think we are really looking at here. Nobody in this body is anti discriminating, want to be anti-discriminating, and as the good speaker said, we all know and have in our families and friends, and we should love them. We coexist in dignity. As we said, we're all God's children, and I think that's the way we ought to be treated. But to say we have to have this bill because it's going to create such equal, I think it's going to create some unequal with the things that I just said, because they are vague and indeterminate, and I just think we're opening up something that we really can't define and put it into law. I don't think we want to do that, so I'm opposed to this. Thank you.
Representative Edwards.
On and against, Chairman, on and against SF-115 again. I would say that what we have now is equal rights for everyone the way things are right now. With the passage of this bill, it would make it unequal. I don't feel that I'm any better than anybody else or anybody else is any better than me. God created us all, and we're all going to have to stand before God. And I want my children to be able to be brought up in the same kind of country that our forefathers have had left us. That's why I came down here again, because I was afraid that where we were heading was in a direction that my children wouldn't have the freedoms that I had. And I hope that you will try to keep the equal protection under the law where we all have equal rights as it is right now. Thank you.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So let's talk about the country 50 years ago. Let me tell you a story. 50 years ago, a young woman came to this country from across the seas. She came to this country, to the northeast part of this state. She happened to be a little darker complected than the most of the folks in that part of the country. She was married to one of the natives. She was rejected by the family of her husband. She was rejected by much of the community. And 50 years ago, that's where we were. 2 months ago, I was at an event, and a gentleman who was a witness that came to me and said, "I'm so sorry for what your mother went through." Ladies and gentlemen, it hurt my mother 50 years ago, and it was still hurting the gentleman who participated in that the day he gave me those condolences, expressed his sorrow for that. This can be very personal. Wasn't even me. And I've never spoken this in public before. And Mother, I guess I'm sorry. Folks, this is real stuff. This is real people's lives. We don't have any need to. This bill has been changed significantly. Let's be clear. I couldn't have supported the bill the way it was. The amended bill, folks, this puts us back where I think we are, where my constituency, the folks that are advocating for something, want something. I do not want to go back and have the things that occurred to my mother. That's not where we are yet to do today, but let's get the employment thing right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think as we sit here in first reading and you're confused about what we're doing, I think you just need to look at the enacting clause. And it says it really simple, what we're doing here. What we are doing, this is an act related to discrimination, prohibited discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity, and then it's providing exemptions. So the question is, do you believe in discrimination or you do not believe in discrimination. And if there's parts of the bill you don't like, you bring back second reading amendments and third reading amendments. So on and for the bill, just read the enacting clause. That's all it's about.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a few little nudgebacks on some things we've heard. I want to start off by saying that I'm proud of this state. This state has done a great job of protecting everyone here, and we are a friendly, caring state, and to claim otherwise is actually to contradict what some national organizations have described in our state. And may I also say that when someone speaks toward religion and such, and how can we, of all people, do what we're doing, let me just say that we have watched a culture that has demonstrated its disgust throughout history with religion, and now, in a space of time, we are watching, as culture is saying, you can have your faith, but only in your church. And bills like this have been used to drive people out of business if they are people of faith all across the country. This is indeed a lawyer's dream or nightmare, depending on which side you're on. And I think that there's a fundamental difference, by the way, between race and gender identity. Race is something determinable. Gender identity is a moving target. It is by its nature unclear, vague, and unpredictable in its scope because it depends upon a changeable self-perception, and we even find that within the bill. And I think for that reason, this bill is beyond the ability to be amended properly. I also want to point out that at every stage of the process, we have watched this bill heavily amended. And I believe it's because across this body on both sides, we have watched people that know that we're wrestling with something that is a fundamental shift, a fundamental change. This is a bellwether issue. We in this body have watched bellwether issues in the past and know that the eyes of the state are watching and listening, ears listening, to what we're discussing here today. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Question having been called. Any further discussion? Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Harvey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 115 pass. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Chair's in doubt. We'll have to have a standing division. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Tannity.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards. Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay. Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Krohn.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
No.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petrov.
Aye.
Pipparinen.
No.
Pennell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 26 aye, 33 no, 1 excused.
Pursuant to House Rule 6-6B, Senate File 115, having failed, a roll call vote is indefinitely postponed. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 73. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
Senate File 73 from Senator Ross, an act relating to forcible entry and detainer actions, amending forcible entry and detainer statutes to allow a defendant to participate in an action whether or not the defendant has filed an answer to a complaint as specified and providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, the Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 73, Forcible Entry and Detainer Amendments, respectfully reports back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Esquivel, Halverson, Croker, Krohn, Miller, Pelkey. One no vote, Representative Pennell, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 73 do pass. And Representative Stubson will present the bill.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Stubson. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senate File 73 comes as a result of some discussions with folks involved in access to justice issues around the state. And it deals with what's known in the statutes as forcible entry and detainer, but what most of us know as evictions. And the process right now that is followed by many of the courts around the state is that if a defendant, and these are abbreviated proceedings, you get served and there has to be, as soon as the complaint is filed, there's essentially a 12-day period in order to get the trial set. And when a defendant shows up and they have not filed an answer to the complaint, the statute as it reads right now says that the defendant, and this is in the stricken out language on page 2, has no right to offer evidence on his own part, but is only allowed to cross-examine plaintiff's witnesses. And in most of these, and I can tell you, in a previous life, early in my career, I did a number of these on behalf of landlords, so I was typically on the side that was throwing the tenant out. But you get there, and the tenant, you know, under the statute, the tenant's not even allowed to say their piece. And what this bill does is it really just says, hey, if a defendant, even if they failed to file an answer, if they show up at the hearing, they should be able to tell the judge their story, and he should be able to weigh it and make his decision accordingly. And, you know, really, in most courts, the judges have, by default, maybe allowed that to happen, but certainly not in all courts. And so what the bill does is it just says that defendant, they'll have the right to put on their case, they'll have a right to explain maybe why they violated the lease or whatever, and have the judge make a decision based on that. And, when you have folks and their only interaction with the court may be a proceeding of this type, and you have them show up, and then under the statute they're not even allowed to, you know, have their fair say, it really impacts their perception of our judicial system and whether they think it's fair, and justifiably so. And so I think this is a good change. It makes sure that everybody in Wyoming has their voice in these proceedings. And so I'd urge your aye vote, and I'd take any questions on it.
Any discussion? Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I had no idea that you could not just, as a tenant who's being served with eviction notices, could not show up into court and make your case. You know, the landlord hasn't fixed my plumbing for 3 months, so I withheld rent as protest. So this is a good bill. Further, we heard in testimony that the summons received by the tenant does not outline his rights, and this bill does not require that. If this bill passes, I think a bill for our future consideration would be that the notice of eviction do contain the tenant's rights to appear in court and make his case without written answers or an attorney. And I urge your aye vote.
Any further discussion? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Miller's motion that when the committee of the whole rise to report, to do so with a recommendation that Senate file 73 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Senate file 73 has passed the committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is Senate file 75. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate file 75 from Senator Ross. An act relating to child support, requiring notice as specified to Department of Family Services upon admission of a decedent's will to probate or issuance of letters of administration in an interstate decedent's estate, providing that a finding of physical placement in a child support order shall not be considered a disposition of custody, modifying procedures related to actions suspending driver's licenses for non-payment of child support, providing for an effective date. Mr. Chairman, Committee Number 1, Judiciary, to whom is referred Senate File 75, Child Support Enforcement Amendments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baker, Escobar, Halverson, Croker, Crone, Miller, Pelkey, Pinnell, and Winters, signed by Representative Miller, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Miller?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the committee of the whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Senate File 75 do pass, and the minority floor leader will explain the bill.
Ms. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Master Chairman. I've never been Ms. Minority Floor Leader before.
My apologies, Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Well, Mr. Chairman, either way works and makes me sound younger than I am, so I guess I'll go with it. In any event, friends, I bring you Senate File 75. This is primarily a cleanup bill in child support enforcement. We have an agency that enforces child support orders, and they currently administer over 30,000 child support enforcement orders in the state of Wyoming. And so they have brought this bill to us. So essentially on page 2, it provides that they are entitled to receive notice if they are enforcing a child support order so that they could collect any outstanding child support. Also, a clarification on a finding of physical placement and how that does not change custody. On page 3, the amendments to section 111 of our current child support provisions provide that the agency, as an enforcement tool, may initiate driver's license suspension if the obligor, meaning the parent who owes the money, owes more than $2,500 in unpaid child support. And then it also clarifies that notice to the obligor can be made by first-class mail. There was a lot of discussion in our good committee number one about the difficulties associated with certified mail, that it's actually easier for someone to avoid service by just not picking up the certified letter. That's a basic walkthrough of the bill. It's part of our traditional child support enforcement actions, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any further discussion? Further discussion. Okay, question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Miller's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that Senate File 75 do pass, please say aye. Opposed? No. Senate File 75 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration.
Mr. Chairman.
Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Chairman, Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. Senate File 119, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 93, recommended do pass. Senate File 27, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 30, amended and further amended, recommended do pass. Representative Berger moved that the House rise and sit again. Senate File 45, amended, recommended do pass. Senate File 115, amended. And further amended, following a failed roll call vote, the bill is deemed indefinitely postponed. Senate File 73, recommended do pass. Senate File 75, recommended do pass. Signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman.
Chairman Harshman. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
Heard the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, no. Congratulations, Chairman Harshman. You know, I just can't help it. I sit there and listen to Chairman Harshman, and I think about that guy on public radio. If you know who he is, you know who he is. He sounds just like him. Okay. Conference Committee on Senate File 46. Eklund Chair, Lindholm, and McKim. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 293. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 16, controlled substances, 28 A's, 2 no's, and Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 294, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 33, Precinct Committee Person Elections. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Noes 30, ayes 0. The Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 01 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 295, Mr. Speaker. Senate File number 13, Method of Education-1. The Senate adopted a joint conference committee number 1 to report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, 1 no. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 296, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 16, Offenses Against Public Administration. The Senate adopted a joint conference committee number 1. Report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, noes 0. And this House bill is Offenses Against Public Administration. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 297, Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate Joint Resolution 2. The Senate conferees are Senator Ross, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Wasserberger, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 299, concurrence requested, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 38. The PAC campaign limits and funding, the House bill listed above, passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 16, noes 14. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 300. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 39. Aggregate Campaign Contribution Limits, dash, repeal, ayes 16, noes 14, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 301, concurrence requested on House Bill 44, Emergency 911 Fees, Prepaid Wireless. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated, ayes 28, noes 2, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 302, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 77, Wyoming Retirement System Veteran Service Credit. House bill listed above passed on third reading with ayes 28, noes 2. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments, signed by Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 303, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 88, Health Provider Recruiting Programs. House bill listed above passed on third reading with a vote of ayes 24, noes 6. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 304. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicating House Bill 96, Catering Permit Limitation, ayes 29, 1 no. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 305, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 128, Notice Requirements, Special District Elections, ayes 28, noes 2, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 306, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 145, Principal and Income Act Amendments, ayes 30, noes 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 307. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 159, Education-Writing Assessment, ayes 16, noes 14, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 308. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 172, Disability Placard Designation, ayes 30, noes 0, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 309, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 225, Highway Patrol Security Duties. The House bill listed above passed on third reading, ayes 30, noes 0. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Sylvan Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 310. Mr. Speaker, the bill is to be low passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 231, Hathaway Scholarships, Exemptions from Requirements, Ayes 30, No 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 311. Mr. Speaker, the bill is to be low passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 233, Branch Bank License Expiration, Ayes 30, No 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 312. Mr. Speaker, the bill is to be low passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 237, Water and Sewer District Contracts, Ayes 26, No 4. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 313. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution 7, Bear Lodge Project, Ayes 30, No 0. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 314. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution 8, Longer Combination Vehicles, Dash Compact Agreement, Ayes 28, Noes 2. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 9, engrossed Right to Farm, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagy, Larson, Lindholm, and McKinn, signed by Representative McKinn, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 80, engrossed, Trespassing to Collect Data, Civil Cause of Action, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagy, Larson, Lindholm, McKim, signed by Robert McKim, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, Public Lands, and Water Resources, to whom was referred Senate File 126, engrossed Water Quality, reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Allen, Blake, Campbell, Eklund, Hunt, Yeagy, Larson, Lindholm, and McKim, signed by Representative McKim, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 50, engrossed Tribal Liaisons, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Gay, Jennings, Kirkbride, Paxton, Dan Swanitzer. To no votes, Representative Edwards and Lindholm, signed by Representative Dan Swanitzer, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 121, Career and Technical Training Grants, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Dan Swanitzer, three no votes, Representative Edwards, Gay, and Jennings, signed by Representative Kirkbride, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 118, Personal Opportunity with Employment Responsibilities, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representative Blackburn, Byrd, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, and Dan Swanitzer, three noes, Representative Edwards, Gay, and Jennings, signed by Representative Dan Swanitzer, Chairman.
Re-referrals. Chairman Swanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I need to re-refer Senate File 121, Career and Technical Training Grants, to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Senate File 121 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2.
Is he the chairman?
Yeah. Chairman Swanitzer, what about Senate File 50?
Not at this time, Mr. Speaker, but I will review the bill. And I think what the bill does is keep a current appropriation, and it's not a new appropriation. It transfers it from one section to another. But I'll review with the chief clerk, and if I need to, I will re-refer tomorrow morning.
Thank you. Conference Committee for Senate Joint Resolution 2, Stubson, Chairman, Greer, and Connolly. Committee reports. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in room H18 to consider Senate file 130, Lottery Commission Reporting Requirements.
Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Joint Conference Committee number 1 on House Bill 17 will meet tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. in the Judiciary Room, H8.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number five is going to meet tonight just briefly as a committee just to kind of formulate our plans as far as interim topics in H11 just immediately upon adjournment.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Wednesday, tomorrow, 10 minutes after adjournment in room H17 to consider the following bills. Senate File 85, Adult Foster Care Pilot Program.
Vice Chairman Northrop.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 4, Education, will meet Wednesday, the 25th, upon adjournment in room H10, where we will hear Senate File 74, Summer School Intervention and Remediation, and Senate File 91, Charter School Eligibility Bonus Payments. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Joint Conference Committee number 2 on House Bill 1 will continue discussions with a like committee from the Senate on adjournment. And, Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2 appropriations will meet at 9 a.m. in room 204 tomorrow, Wednesday, February 25th, to hear re-referred bill, Senate File 145, engrossed hospital uncompensated care, and any other re-referred bills. Thank you.
The Joint Conference Committee number 1 on House Bill 23 will meet on adjournment in, I'm pretty sure it's S11. It's back off the back side of the Senate chambers.
What do you want?
Madam Majority Floor Leader, I believe that clears the deck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple of housekeeping for the members. First, today you should have received a peach-colored handout that if any of you are interested in the legislative digest for both the House and the Senate, you do need to fill this out. It is really a great reference piece for you. It is the synopsis of both the House and the Senate activities. And if you just fill that out and put that up in the front basket, that will be given to you. They're usually mailed to you once our sessions are completed. And it really is good information. It has our speeches in it, and then the complete digest of our votes with a quick summary of our bills on that. Okay. We also, just so you know, since we're starting to get to that wrap-up point, you'll get a quick synopsis of all of the bills that do pass the legislature when you go home, and that's a great summary piece for you to use with your constituency. And then for the chairman and vice chairman, as you're working your committees, I've heard some of the announcements already, but make certain to start talking about your interim topics. Maybe you should also visit with your agencies that are under your purview about what you may want to present to management council, and those are due to LSO by March 4th at 10 a.m. And then your general file for consideration tomorrow is as follows. They will be Senate File 142, 101, 58, 92, 44, 52, 4, 132, 47, 124-100, 11-134, 133, 95-24, 118, 88-90, 9-138, 57-56, 55-51, 80, and 126. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, February 25th, 2015.
You've heard the motion. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. We're adjourned until 10 a.m. tomorrow.